Atmare Tefane, my name's Kathy. West, we're a place of faith, shelter and laughter. And I just want to put some of that faith into practice today, this morning. Some of you will be aware that Kerry McCarthy, who is one of our family here, her granddaughter, Frida, has been rushed to Starship Hospital very unwell. I haven't heard anything for a couple of days. Does anybody have an update on that? But it's always appropriate to pray. So let's just take a moment to pray for Frida and for their family. So Heavenly Father, we just uphold Frida, we uphold Liz and Caleb and every member of this extended family at this time, and we just ask God for your input, for your grace, for your breakthrough in this situation. God, that every medical person that's involved in Frida at the moment would have great wisdom and insight, discernment to know exactly what's happening with this baby. God, that she'll just turn around. We speak life into her. Life, health, wholeness into Frida today. And we just ask that your peace and comfort would be upon this family, that their faith would see them through at this time as they hold on to you and the knowledge of you as a good God. So we just commit them to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so we're also a place of laughter. So I'm just going to start my wee message this morning looking at a couple of jokes that I found. Do you know how hard it is to find a decent joke on love on the internet? I'm not sure if these are all that decent yet either. Okay, Will Ferrell. If someone says I love you and you don't feel the same, just say I love you too really fast. And the second one, I'm so happy you love your boyfriend. Do you tell him as often as you tell everyone on Facebook? Okay, so they're actually kind of quite appropriate because I think about love at the moment. And it's kind of like a modern take on love, isn't it, and the generation and how they see it. And I feel like the pendulum swung significantly. If we look at historically and generations ago, I don't think many people said, I love you very often. And I think it created quite a bit of harm. But now I think it's come to the other point where it's become so flippant and so common and almost habitual, and everybody just says, I love you, that I think you can start to question the genuineness of it. And this kind of shows what it's like because it's just everywhere. But, you know, we talk about God's love, and we've talked about it this morning, and we often say God loves you, and we tell somebody that, well, God loves you. But how on earth can we possibly trust that God loves you? How can we even begin to know that? So this morning I want to just talk about a couple of ways that we can see that God loves you through the Christmas story. So we're all on a journey of discovering God's love, discovering that it's true and thus learning how to behave out of this knowledge. But what about someone who's never been told that God loves them? How do they know that? They rightfully may ask. So first and foremost, I want to talk about God becoming human, that we can understand and we can trust God's love, because in the Christmas story, it's the story of God leaving heaven, leaving the spirit realm, to become human. It's a human story. So God understands the limitedness of our humanity, our humanness. And so he became Emmanuel, God with us. Now there's a really big word around that known as the incarnation. I do believe there's a PowerPoint. Brent and I are just going to do our best to get our timing with PowerPoints that tells us about the incarnation. It's actually entitled Incarnation. Have I got it there? Cool. So the understanding, the theology of the assuming of a human body by the Son of God. Christianity is the presence of God on earth in the person of Jesus. The act of manifesting or state of being manifested in bodily form, especially human form. A bodily form assumed by God. So the Christmas story is all about that, the incarnation, God becoming human so that we could understand him. Because how on earth could we possibly understand this creator, this spirit being? But he knew that we needed to know what he was like, and so he came in the form of Christ. And it's a very, very human story. It involved human beings, and it involved all of the pain, all of the sacrifice of being human. So we're going to just take a few minutes to watch a YouTube from the nativity scene to try and capture some of that sense of the humanity of the Christmas story. So thank you, Brent.
I beg you! I have loved your home, but any place you have!
It's all I can do.
I'm sure every woman that's given birth would like to have thought that their birth would be like that. So even that, as much as it was a human portrayal, was very, very mild in comparison to what I think it would have really been like. I think it would have been a lot noisier, a lot smellier, a lot messier than that. Because it is a human story. It's the reality of Mary giving her body and her plans, her dreams, in order to give birth to Christ. It's the story of God becoming human. It's the story of God saying, I love you, and you know that because I've become like you, and I'm going to live like you in order that you might trust me. Okay, gathering my thoughts. I think Mary must have suffered a lot giving birth to our Saviour. And I think she must have sacrificed a lot. And that brings me on to my second point, that love is shown in sacrifice. The Christmas story is a story of sacrifice. As I said, the sacrifice of Mary, of her reputation, her plans, her body, her pain. The sacrifice of the hours after the birth, giving it up so the Magi could come and so people could come and worship Jesus, because I'm sure she really wanted to just go to sleep. She probably wanted to have a clean place for her newborn son. She had motherly needs. She had personal things that needed to be cleaned up, and yet she sacrificed it. And it's the story of the sacrifice of Joseph, trusting that his intended wife was pregnant by immaculate conception, sacrificing his reputation, his plans, his desire to provide for Mary and the baby. I can't imagine what it was like as a man to have to allow your wife to give birth in a stable where it was dirty and smelly, because I'm sure his desire to protect her was very real, yet he sacrificed that. Ultimately, this Christ story is a story of sacrifice. God coming in human form to be the sacrifice once and for all for broken humanity. And I believe there's a couple of scriptures around that. Thanks, Brent. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So it's not just the beginning, the Christmas story, it's about the end, the sacrifice of God himself in the form of Christ that we might live forever. And one more. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, the ultimate sacrifice. Was there one more? I'm not sure. Cool. What's the next one? Okay. So this is what sacrifice is. An act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. It's worth it. And the next one? Okay. All right, so a little bit of a personal story. If anybody knows me well and has been to visit me, they will know that I like my house really tidy. I like order, and I'm very visual, so I like everything to look nice. I feel relaxed and comfortable in a house that's tidy. I think I took this photo of my dining room, might have been Thursday morning, and the next one's my kitchen. It's usually where I do my cooking. And the next one is the reason why my house looks like that now. So this is my new grandson. He's almost 3 weeks old, Noah. That's the first hour that he was born. And the next one is my daughter bathing Noah at home. And the next one is... So it is Nanny Kathy. And I'm no saint by any means whatsoever, but I've had to sacrifice the tidiness of my house. But it's worth it, because my daughter got my hanky, and my grandson are so much more important than the tidiness of my house. But it's something that's really been so real to me, is that I've had to give up. Now, my daughter's parenting on her own, and so she's living with me, and this is my reality. I've had to give up a lot of the things that I would prefer to do if I wanted to be selfish. But parenting is about sacrifice. And even though my daughter turns 27 on the day before Christmas, I'm still sacrificing for the sake of my daughter, because I'll never not be a parent. And so part of that sacrifice is the tidiness of my house. It's invaded everywhere but my bedroom. He's been in there once. And the other thing, talking about cats, and that was an absolute beautiful story, but I'd quite like to sacrifice Megan's cat, because, and this has been ongoing long before Noah was born, because Megan's cat, Mila, is very needy, according to its mother, and pees everywhere, and has been known to poop since Noah was born. And my house absolutely reeks of cat pee. So, but I love my daughter, and I know that she really loves her cat, and it just would be devastating for her, for the cat to have got shot by the one bullet that I wish I had in my pocket every now and again. Although I do know that she likes Mila a little bit less since she's had the baby. So as I said, I'm no saint, but that's just a little bit of my understanding of parenting. But I'd like to also talk about somebody else that sacrificed for the sake of our family. Many of you know that Noah's birth was not simple, and it's been a pretty tough time. And I thank every single person in this place who's prayed for us and prayed for Megan, and those that have cooked and brought gifts and everything. It is truly appreciated and has truly made a difference for us to get through the last few weeks. The bowls are in the back if you need to grab your bowl. And in no way do I want to say one person was greater than the other, but I just saw in this one person a huge amount of sacrifice. So this is my sister Bev, next photo. And I'm a little bit fragile, haven't had a lot of sleep lately. I know that my sister Bev really, really loves me and my family. And I know that because she sacrifices a lot to come and support us. Now, Bev had a head injury. She fell off. She was cleaning her ceiling, fell off, whacked her head on a tile floor, and like Andrew's, had severe concussion about 6 weeks before Noah was born. She works as the CEO of Trust Waikato, so she has a huge amount of responsibility, but she hasn't been able to work full time. But she came down on the Sunday after Noah was born and stayed with us from Sunday to Friday. She couldn't drive yet, so she sacrificed her feeling of health by coming on the bus. She sacrificed her daughter's birthday during the week to be with us. She sacrificed work an important time, and she came and she sacrificed her own feeling of health to support us. So I really know that my sister Bev loves me because I saw her love in action and in the sacrifice that she made to us. So she could possibly be called Saint Bev. But, you know, none of this is anything in comparison to the sacrifice of that God has given us through the coming of his son. So then, knowing that love is shown in sacrifice, how then should we live? It's not a sacrifice unless it costs you something. And I think, you know, we kind of dampen down our love and our actions towards other people, and we are selfish, and we don't want to give too much. But really, when we want to show our love to somebody and to show the love of God, it is sacrificial. I'm sure, Meryl, you've sacrificed an enormous amount to do what you do to affect people that then go on and affect other people. You give up something. And I think that the love of God flowing through us is really only shown through true sacrifice. Otherwise, it's just too easy. But we're challenged, aren't we, to give up things for the sake of loving others. So I do believe there's just one more scripture, Brent. So then, this is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So let us be people who are known to be sacrificial. Let us not live a life that is selfish. Let us give for the sake of a greater cause. So just to remind you, the Christmas story is God saying to us, I love you.